Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bellow.
The spirit of the message is that for me to know that you have caught the spirit of the message is when you reposition in the area of priorities and what is important to you. That's how I know you've got the spirit of the message. That there is a strong sense of mission you're running with as a man, as a woman. You know what to put first. You know what to put last. You know what comes before what. That's a man on a mission. And then you have a perspective. You have a view of what God wants you to do and where he's taking you to. Your vision. So once you have that, you have the spirit of the message. So we broke down this teaching into three categories. The first one is your purpose. The second is vision. And the third is economy. Because it is important for everybody who God has given a gift to be able to bring a measure of impact to your world because of the giftings that God has given you. When we talked about purpose, we talked about what he wants you to do, the why. Vision, we talked about how you see. Economy, we're going to talk about how you translate what you have so that you can get value for value. And that's what we're going to delve in today. I would attempt to finish. Hopefully, next week we'll come to a wrap on the subject of your purpose in God. I'm not an economy student. I mean, I didn't do economy in school, not even in primary school. I mean, not even in secondary school. Neither did I study economics in the university. But from what I understand economy to be, from a definition point of view, economy, from what I wrote down here, is the management of the wealth, resources of a people, a community, a nation, or an individual as touching production, distribution, and consumption. That's what you say economy is, because God wants you to run an economy. God wants you to run a God kind of economy. And I'm talking about this because you might be wondering, why is Pastor teaching us economy in the church? But there is the God kind of economy that he has designed for you to make profit and be productive in life. Because at the end of the day, your productivity must be tied to his glory. So that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached through your productivity. It is easier for you to wield a level of influence because of how much you have harnessed what God has given to you and bring people into Christ or into the kingdom from the viewpoint of what you have done or achieved. It takes a certain kind of man to have a grave that is worthy of hosting the body of Jesus. Jesus had all kinds of friends. Yes, the poor were his friends. But there was also the man called Joseph of Arimathea. And that is the level God wants you to be. You are a friend of God who is, let me put it this way, you are a child of God who is maximizing what God has given you. All right? So God has endowed you with gifts. So that's what economy is. And that's the purpose of the teaching, that the kingdom of God will be established through your productivity. Economy can also be the management of resources, available resources within a community, people against the needs and the wants of consumers in the community or in the market, juxtapose the community. That's what it is. So in other words, the consumer is able to pay for value by exchanging value. That is what an economy is. So you are set to run an economy when you are meeting a need or a demand by giving value in exchange for value. You are said to be running an economy. But here is the problem. A lot of people are stuck with what they want, but have never been in touch with what they have. What you have is God's design for you to run your economy. I was talking to someone and I said to the person that you may have a dream, but there is no economy around your dream and passion yet. So therefore, it is important that you are able to work under the economy of another while yours grows over time. I give you an example. When TSP started, it was a baby vision. The vision was born in my heart. Go lead the people, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to this people, right? But at that time, TSP was a baby vision. I had to broaden my economy by working somewhere that sustained me and the vision. But the mistake a lot of people are making is, I am passionate towards something and you want a current economy of your desire over your passion. Life is not in straight lines. Many times, life is in overlapping circles. What I mean to say is that sometimes you may have to concurrently do your vision, grow your economy from what God has given you, and be under the economy of another system at the same time. And that's how a lot of people today have made mistakes, because they have said to me, Pastor, I don't want to work under anybody. And let me tell you, the gift of working under someone is the gift of learning with low risk. Because you would not have to bear the cost of the mistakes that are costly and daunting that could crumble you. So the cost of the employee, the worst that can happen to the employee is that he's fired. But the one who runs the business, there are other implications or other risks. For example, litigation problems. The overbearing weight of the emotional quotient that is required to run in an economy. Vision casting. So, God wants you to learn many times on the people so you don't use your money to pay for mistakes that you made for yourself. So that's why, whilst you are on the journey to creating your own economy, you must understand these two separate economies. You get a job. You are in the place where the Bible describes you as whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. And then you are on the journey to working on the vision and the plan that God has given to you. So, some weeks ago, we talked about the four different economies. I'm going to read a parable to you that will give you some thoughts and concepts when I explain these four economies of God. The first one we talked about from Genesis in the creation of God was the economy of nature. And you saw how God created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all of that. The economy of nature. Second economy, the economy of man. Because after God created all the things he made on the earth, precious stones, animals, trees, he then made man last. Man did not come before the things. Because it is God's design that man will come into prepared things. So God makes man. And the third we have is the economy of evaluation, where God begins to applaud himself and he says, this is good. So the Bible says that all God created, God said to himself, this is good. That is the economy of evaluation. The fourth economy is the economy of rest. Now we're going to look at these four economies. The first economy is the economy of nature. The economy of nature is the starter pack or package that God has endowed every person and mostly many nations. If you look at Nigeria as a nation, for example, Nigeria is not a producing nation. We're a consumer nation. And that's the reason why a lot of things are going wrong. We are transporting our crude. And we get back in return a range of products, okay, in value-added forms, and we have to pay the difference in value. We have to pay more expensive because it is coming as refined. In fact, Nigeria is one of the most is one of the largest exporters of cocoa. My grandfather used to have a cocoa farm back then when we were in Kano. My father told me about his farm, so large. Nigeria, if you count four countries in the world, Nigeria is one of them. Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Ghana, a few of them. One of the four countries in the world that exports cocoa at the volume it does. And it comes back to Nigeria in value-added form, and we have to pay the difference. So your Kit Kat, your chocolate bars, your Mars, your Bounty, you have to pay more because refined products are more valuable than unrefined products. That's the principle of economy. The moment it has gone through production, it becomes more in value. The seashells in seashells, or the shells in the seashore. It's like a tongue twister, right? The shells in the seashore. Did I get it right? She saw. The shells in the... You say it. Why are you laughing? You say it. Keep quiet there. The shells in the seashore, the moment they go through refining and you have your coral beads and all of those things, they become more expensive than unrefined product. So, according to the economy of God, the most primitive stage of economy is nature. Because nature has to be refined for it to have value. There is a huge, vast economy of nature that God has given to us. The air that you breathe is converted, for example, into wind. Or wind, which is the air you breathe, turns the windmills and it converts wind energy into electrical energy, especially the wind turbines. Natural resources. The sunlight gives you solar systems. Natural resources. Who knows what sand can do? This sand that we're seeing out there. I hear recently the government has given approval for certain things in regards to lithium in Nigeria, if you've been following the news. Nigeria is blessed with natural resources. But it is the primitive stage of economy because if you don't proceed beyond natural, which is the economy of nature, you still beg. So that is discussing this matter as a nation. The economy of man is the place where processing comes into play, where you have refining. Like I said, crude is taken outside of the country because they have refineries there, and range of products by fractional distillation is brought to Nigeria, and we have to Buy those things in added value forms. Because someone is involved in processing. So when a nation grows from just having the natural ability or natural endowment to processing, that nation is on the way to bliss and prosperity. The third one is the economy of evaluation. What is the economy of evaluation? It is that economy that has the ability to put the right value on a product based on the process and the level of work that has gone into the production of that thing. So how well do you see yourself? As a nation, how much can we sell? What is our evaluation of what has been produced by us as a nation? This is as a nation. And then the economy of rest speaks about systems, sustainability, and rewards. Where you have systems running for you, because on the seventh day, God ceased from his works, and the Bible says he rested on the seventh day. But when God rested on the seventh day, his works did not rest on the seventh day. So God made all the trees of the field. Every tree has a fruit, but the tree with the fruit has a seed inside of it. So God does not need to do another level of speaking. Because rest is not just when God rested on the seventh day. Rest is a level of productivity that does not need the initial cycle, does not need the initial work. It is something that sustains itself. That is rest. So you are said to have come into rest when your work is working for you now. So that's what rest is. So the economy of nature, the economy of, if you're following me, man, the economy of evaluation, the economy of rest. You come to the individual. Every individual is gifted. There is no individual who doesn't have a gift. Every is gifted. The personal endowments of an individual is your starter package. It is your unique advantage within the scheme or confines of your purpose. So there is something you have that God has placed on the inside of you that can build an economy for you. So whilst you are in touch with working under the economy of systems around you, you must be able to pay attention to an economy inside of you that God has endowed you with and given to you. I've made several examples before how God gives some people a very strong hand-eye coordination. They know how to play the golf, play the ball. Some are very good with their feet. Some know how to play the soccer. And some people, it comes not as trained, but as talents. There are some people who have a photographic memory. There are some people who have an analytical mind. There are some people who can fight. It is part of their talent. There are some people who love to eat. It is part of their talent. There are some people who are just beautiful. It is a talent to be fine. Because if you harness your beauty, your ability to cook, your ability to talk, your ability to do what you can do, well, you will make profit from what God has given you. And there is a dimension of wealth that will flow from your God-given ability that is beyond what a man can pay you. Oh, I wish you were hearing what I'm saying today. Then the next economy is the economy of man, which is processing. This is where a lot of people have problems. I summarize the problems of the young man in two words, or with two words. The first word is mastery, and the second word is marketing. These are the two major reasons why people are not succeeding. The lack of mastery, number one, and number two, the lack of the ability to market what you have. and place the right value on yourself based on how much you have refined yourself. What is mastery? Mastery is the ability to be the best in what you do. That is mastery. That you compete on a global scale, and by the help of the Holy Spirit and by the help of submission to learning, you refine your skill. You know, a lot of us stop at the talent level. Oh, I can sing, I can talk, I can write, I can dance, I can administrate, but there is no learning or education that goes with the talent. That is where the economy of man is missing. I'll give you an example. Switzerland, I studied some things about Switzerland. Most of their GDP is generated basically from service production. Most of the revenue they generate as a country. Tourism, they don't have the kind of oil that we have. In fact, agriculture for Switzerland is less than 1% of its contribution to its GDP. So most of it is knowledge-based production, not product production or product economy, service economy. That's Switzerland. So there are a group of people in Switzerland who have decided to use their brains in between their ears to say, how can we make this place a great economy? One of the greatest economies in the world. Nigeria apparently is the largest economy in Africa. Not the best, but the largest. Somebody's laughing. But it is true. So you have a people who don't have the endowments of natural resources, but they have a refining of training that makes them compete in a global scale. I'm talking about Switzerland now. That by their intellectual capacity and harnessing what they have, they are able to refine and be a nation that shoulders muscles with the great and the mighty. Switzerland. My prayer for Nigeria is that we will come to become not just a consumer nation, a producer nation by the harnessing of your gifts. There's so much of opportunity that God has given to us. Then the economy of evaluation for you is, how best am I interpreting the value that I have? So I'm going to read a parable that will give you a level of understanding of who you are and how you see yourself. Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. We'll begin from there today. Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. This was a parable that Jesus gave when he was talking about the sower who went to sow a seed. It says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Number three ground, there are four grounds there. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears, let him hear. So there are four grounds that Jesus talks about. I want you to follow me very carefully. Let's move to the interpretation of this parable. And his disciples asked him and said, what does this parable mean? Next verse. And he said, to you it was given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest of it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Next verse. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Next verse. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, in a time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Study these grounds. So there are four grounds. Somebody say four grounds. It feels like I'm talking to just four people in the building. Somebody say four grounds. So what is the first ground? The wayside. Second ground, the rocky ground or the stony ground. Third ground, with thorns. The fourth ground, the good ground. So let's start again. What is the first ground? Wayside ground. Second ground, rocky ground. Third ground, thorns. And fourth ground, good ground. Now let's analyze all these grounds. Because whether we like it or not, we all represent in some way. I'm not talking about this in terms of your identity spiritually. I'm going to extrapolate context from this parable and explain my teaching. Is that okay? Now, from the first ground, which is the wayside ground, what is your description of something that is by the wayside, which the Bible says is where men have trodden the seed under the foot of men? The way you describe that kind of ground is a ground that shows no value. So a wayside ground, okay, if a seed is placed on the wayside and there is so much of traffic trodden under the feet of men, it shows that there is no value. It shows that there is no value. There is no value in that ground. It is a common thing for men to trample on that seed. So it is a ground that reflects a no-value life. That's the first ground. It speaks of value. Second ground, if you look at it, that ground is a rocky ground. And the Bible describes that ground to be the kind of ground that doesn't have much earth. It doesn't have depth. What it means is that it's not a ground that can keep things for long. If you interpret what this means when it comes to people and their lives, it shows us a description of people who don't know how to keep things. A nation that doesn't know how to keep resources. A nation that doesn't know how to keep its human resources. That's a shallow ground. A shallow ground is a ground that has stones in it, that has no level of depth in it. It's not a keeping ground. It's a losing ground. And you know, many times, along the journey of life, you need to have a flexibility of change and re-evaluation because the ground you are on may not be the ground that can host you. Let me speak in simple terms. You can be under certain circles, organizations, frames, structures that are shallower than you are. And it takes supernatural wisdom to know it is time to shift from this. Because the productivity from that kind of ground has nothing to do, the unproductivity from that ground has nothing to do with you, because it's not about your depth possibility, but it's about what the ground can hold. It's not a ground that can hold. In the last couple of years, we've had the most critical and humongous brain drain from Nigeria, because a lot of our young people are leaving. It seems to be that Nigeria doesn't seem to be like a keeping ground that holds all of her intellectual capacities and her intellectual minds. I was speaking with my mother, I think it was yesterday, and she told me how the president of Ghana had to beckon on some of the doctors who had traveled abroad and told them, come back home, name your price. Whatever it is you're doing abroad, come back home, I will give you. Some of them said, I want houses, I want cars, done. But just come back home. Trying to reestablish a capacity keeping ground. But you know, there was a prophecy about Nigeria that in no time, Nigeria will become one of the most desired nations in the earth. that people will look forward to coming back to Nigeria. The amen is like... your doubt and your unbelief, it will not touch me. But it's a true prophecy because people are beginning to realize right now that firstly, nowhere is safe. Secondly, safety is not defined by bullets and guns, but is also defined by the sanity of the cultures. So the prophecy has gone out about Nigeria that it will become one of the most desirable places. Let us hope and trust God that it will be in our times. But you see, the thing I want you to understand is that you can develop your own economy and thrive in a failing system. Because what God has said about you is that the Gentiles will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So, if you look at nations, there are nations that are keeping grounds, not stony grounds. There are other nations that cannot keep. And then what of the individual? There are also individuals that are not keeping individuals. In other words, they cannot keep ideas. Vision comes to their heart, and in the next few months, vision is gone. Passion comes into their spirit. In the next few days, passion is gone. If I call some people now, tell me about your desires 5 years ago. Your conversations are different. Because life has so battered so many people that it changes the direction of their mouth. That's not a keeping ground. A keeping ground can keep visions. A keeping ground can keep relationships. A keeping ground can keep marriage. A keeping ground can be trusted with finances, that when money comes to you, it doesn't develop wings and fly away. So that you don't look like someone who used to say in our days. A keeping ground is not a stony ground. A keeping ground is a nurturing ground. That's the problem with the stony ground. But you see now that the competence of the word did not change regardless of the ground. The word is the word, but the ground determined the productivity of the word. Then you move to the keeping ground, to the third ground, which is the thorny ground. The thorny ground is not a ground that cannot keep. It can keep. But if you notice that ground, it doesn't stop growth. It only stops fruitfulness. Look at the ground very well. It doesn't stop the ability of the plant to grow, but it stops the ability of the ground to produce fruit. So you can see growth, but you will never see productivity. Let me explain. There is a difference between success and bearing fruit. Lord help me, I'm speaking on the top of many heads today. There is a difference between when your activity is around the external, even though successful, but has nothing to do with your endowments. Did you get it now? Should I go ahead again? Should I say it again? There is a difference between being productive and being a man of achievements. A man or a woman of achievements is not necessarily productive, because what defines productive is the offering, the unique offering of your soul. It is something peculiar to you, which goes back to the economy of nature that God has given you and designed you for your purpose. If that thing does not see the light of day, no matter how successful you are not fruitful. So, the condition of this ground is that it grows, but it is choked by the cares. And it even goes further to mention riches. That you can be this kind of ground and be rich. But you are a faulty ground, because riches is not a definition of success in the eyes of God. In fact, let me put it this way. Wealth, when you talk about wealth, money is the least parameter in the measurement of wealth. One of the things that rank high above money, when you're describing wealth, is vision. Another is wisdom. Wisdom is more. So money is the least. This ground talks about a ground that is affected by riches and by cares. So it is saying that there is so much of activity going on, but there is no productivity. And what is productivity? Productivity is when inside comes outside. Because productivity has to always come from the inside. So the question is, are you gifted? If the answer is yes, you are gifted, then there has to be a refining of the gift, which is the economy of man. There has to be an evaluation of the refining of your gift, which is the economy of evaluation. And there has to be rest, your mastery in the deploying of your gift. That's number one. And your gift creating an economy that now works for you. That's the economy of rest. So God wants you to leverage on your starter package, which is the gift that he has given you. So right now, the pastor is telling you, look inside. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Serena Williams, by the time you were in school, she was playing the tennis. If she joined us in school, she would have missed her money. You know, I've said this to you, that many people read, they love book. They read and they read past where there's money. And they never come in touch with what is unique and peculiar to them. So I'm showing you how to convert your gift to an economic proposition that you are able to translate your talents into profit. That's what we're talking about. How refined is your talent? I can sing. Do you practice well? Have you gained mastery? So these are the issues that we're having. Now, if you look at the good ground in verse 15, the good ground answers the problem of all the bad grounds. Look at it. You know, the first bad ground we said, it has no value. Second ground we said, it doesn't have the ability to keep. Third ground, it grows but does not bear fruit. Now, look at the good ground. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart. So the noble and the good heart addresses the first ground, which does not have value. So the first appreciation of value that you must come in terms with is the gospel and the effect it has on you and your gifts. That's why you cannot be poor when you have found the gospel. Talk to me, somebody. You cannot be disadvantaged when you have found the gospel. If I put two people, one person who has found the gospel and another who has not, with the same amount of resources and opportunities, the one with the gospel has a supernatural advantage more than the other. Because apart from this economy we're talking about, there's also a supernatural divine economy. I'll tell you how. Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Hold on, brother. 5 loaves of bread and how many fish? 2. That's how much he fed 5,000 people. What kind of economy would do that? But he lifts the package up and he gives thanks, and the Bible says there is a multiplication. So you have an advantage working for you. So the value is, firstly, the good news that you have found that places an unconditional value on yourself. So you already know that you are a good ground because of how much God loves you. Are we clear with ground one? So you know you are not ground one. Ground two. It says, having heard the word with a noble heart, good heart, keep it. So the good ground can keep. And number three, the good ground also bears fruit with patience. So it addresses the issues of the three grounds. That you are a good ground, number one. Let's say that together. I'm a good ground. Number two, if you're following me, I'm a keeping ground. Number three, I'm a fruitful ground. I'm not just a ground with plenty cultivations and activity, no fruit. Should I give you an example of that? It's the fig tree without figs. That's a ground that grew and did not bear fruit. But you are a good ground, a keeping ground, and a fruitful ground. Now, there is another version that says that brings forth fruit. And this is where I'm going to end. A lot of us have issues with bringing forth. Bearing fruit is not the same thing as bringing forth. Bearing fruit is not the same thing as what? Bringing forth. You can be productive but lack the ability to bring forth. Let me explain. You meet a lady. She can sing. One song has never made the market. But if you visit her in the house, you see all the collections since 2002. Each year, she released songs. She and the producer, they even celebrated. This is a hit song. But that hit song was never brought forth. You don't understand what I'm saying. What good is a product if the product is manufactured and kept in the warehouse and doesn't see the market? So where a lot of us miss it is the ability to bring forth. There's a guy who grows up and he knows how to draw comics. And you know that the person who developed Marvel Studios, the gift of comic drawing that the guy who developed Marvel has also resides in this boy. But one never saw the light of day. Have you asked yourself a question before? Why is it that most big companies invest humongous monies on advertisement? And you're wondering to yourself, aren't they wealthy enough? Why the need for advertising? Coca-Cola is not tired of advertising. Apple is not tired of advertising. Even Jesus, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about. Now, I know where the problem is. Because we have told you, nations are coming to you. But we have lacked the ability and discretion to go into nations. You have something, you have refined it, you have placed value on it. The only thing that is left is visibility that comes through marketing. The bringing forth ability, not the producing ability. And you know the challenge of the bringing forth ability, it is the syndrome of the perfectionism syndrome. Because I need to get it perfect before I release it. Listen, God does not have a problem if it's not perfect. Because you can't make it perfect. But we have an obligation to make it excellent. You see the difference? There's a difference between perfection and excellence. Perfection speaks about a completion of something. But excellence speaks of the prowess and the ingenuity that comes to the releasing of a thing. I'll give you an example. Camry 2001. It is not perfect, but it's excellent. Because in its days, it was the in thing. Okay, let's leave Camry. The G-Wagon. The 2001 G-Wagon was Libokotia Bakaya. But 2017 is an upgrade. So you are not looking at perfection, because while you are waiting for perfection, somebody has released a song and put on YouTube with ordinary strings that is going around the world, and people are buying into it, and you are waiting for, this beat is not correct. So the question now is, How much of bringing forth ability do you have? Because let me tell you what life favors. Life favors people with 30% talent and 100% reach than 100% talent and 30% reach. Because you can be so endowed. See, the best singers are not heard yet. But what's the difference between the ones you are hearing and the ones that are not heard? It is reachability. So the question now is, how much can I take what I have? And this is one of the things that God is helping this church with, because God has given us visibility. For some of you, the content is not the problem. It is the reachability that is the problem. You think people don't like you, but it's not that people don't like you. The problem is that you are not in the eyes of the people. And sometimes people don't even remember that you are there. Do advertisement. Even the Bible says a sower went to sow. The ground didn't come to meet him. He went to sow. How God anointed Jesus and he went about doing good. What is the psychology of great churches? They send buses to pick people. So how come the wind of the Spirit is not bringing people into small churches? Is the God who answers small churches different from the God that answers big churches? But there is a reachability that has stretched a structure to be able to reach out. So you know what I'm going to challenge you with? Let the world hear your voice. It is your responsibility to do that. Now we have all kinds of platforms for reachability. For example, you have YouTube. You can begin to sponsor things on YouTube. People are making huge amounts of money today by just eating on YouTube. Kabi, I gave you an example. He does this on YouTube and that's how he makes money. Just this. I don't know what yours is going to be. But whatever yours is going to be, put it out there. If God has given you something, even if it's 30%, let it be that this is the best you could do now. Then next year will be an upgrade of last year. So God wants you to spread your tentacles. You know, there is a vulnerability to the marketer. The vulnerability is, number one, the fear of rejection. It is the fear of being told no. That when you carry your product to someone or what you have to sell, people will tell you no. Listen to me, don't be scared of no's. You must be able to meander between no's and get to the one yes. Because if a legitimate seed, which is the word of God, had three no's and one yes, which is three backgrounds and one background, it tells you that rejection is a constant. That in life, you would always and most likely be told no, because people are people. There are some people who just say no before they even think. Do you want to do this? No. What did you say? So their default is no. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's two problems. It's a pride problem and it's a timidity problem when it comes to marketing. What is the pride problem? I don't want them to look down on me because I market what I have in exchange of value for value. Pride. In other words, they are too small for me to give what I have. Then there is the timidity. So the timidity and the pride, they are all on the same spectrum of self-centeredness. Because self-centeredness is pride, which says, I'm not going to give what I have because you don't deserve it, and I don't want you to think I'm in need of something. That's pride. Timidity is, I don't know if I can. Listen to me, you can. So I don't know what spectrum you fall in between. But one thing you should understand is that just go ahead. Because the moment you open your mouth, he will fill your mouth. The one who keeps speaking, God opens the doors of people. Can I say something to you? God will begin to bless you on the basis of perception. Oh, you don't hear what I said. When the Bible says his fame went abroad, his gift went abroad. See a man diligent in his giftings. He will sit before kings and not mere men. But he wasn't staying in one place. He kept on moving. until who appreciated what he had? Who received what he had? And guess what? When you become that productive ground, you become a fruitful ground. It is easy to bring the kingdom of God through your productivity. So God doesn't just want you to be a producer, but he wants you to be a bringer forth. He wants you to be able to express what you have produced. Are you blessed today? So you go back to the four economies. The first economy is the economy of nature. Second is the economy of man. Third is the economy of evaluation. You must place the right value. Don't sell yourself cheap. In fact, let me tell you, there is immorality to selling. It's not a sin if you sell. You know, we Christians, the major problem is with us. Can't he dash me? Is he not my brother in Christ? If you do that, you take my license to reproduce. Because not paying your brother is taking his seed away. Should I tell you what profit is? Profit is your license to reproduce. That's profit. Because when God gave a fruit, he put a seed in there. And the seed would have to reproduce after its kind. If Adam did not fall, and you had naked people walking through the garden, all of us were naked. May God help your imagination right now. But all of us were naked walking through the garden with tree hanging fruits. We will not need to sell anything. But because everything valuable that God created went under the ground, and it takes hard work to bring it out, then you need to sell. So there's the morality to selling. And you don't sell yourself cheap. Because how you see yourself is how you sell yourself. That's the economy of evaluation. A man went for an interview, and just because of how he comported himself, there was a basic salary for everyone who came for the interview. Because of the way this guy spoke, the interviewers were asking him, how much do you want us to pay you? So he's the one negotiating his price. Someone was telling me she got a job, and they told her how much, huge company, multinational, how much are we going to give you? She said, 150,000 naira. The gate man takes 150,000. So they had to help her raise her mind to say, okay, no, we don't do that here. 150,000 is the base, but say something reasonable. That's when she realized she was given a blank check. Do you know that some... See, don't think everybody can fill blank checks. Because some of us will be frozen the moment we see a blank check. And you will fill in what you think of yourself. Don't sell yourself cheap. But listen to me, you have no right to sell when you have not placed refining capacity on the gift that God has given to you. Are you blessed today? So I want everybody to be productive. You're a chef, you chef well. You're an instructor, you instruct well. You are a CEO, you have read books on leadership. You are astute in knowledge. Because the people of this world must not be wiser than people who are in church. God is sending you to a strong terrain of people who don't know your God. And at that time, you will not be saying, in Jesus' name we pray. You'll be conversing on the matters as regarding value and your craft. So you must know what you're doing. The dimension of the ox, diligence and leadership. So God wants us to master our craft. Mastery, marketing. With this, you can never be poor. Mastery and what? Marketing. With these few words of mine, I hope I've been able to convince you that God has given everybody a gift. Paul, you can come now. That God has given everybody a gift, but that gift must go through schooling. Because unschooled gifts will be paid for cheap. The least guy in the chain of things is the cheapest guy. Is the uneducated guy. And when I mean uneducated, I don't mean necessarily a degree. I mean someone who is not refined in understanding of what he does. Whether it's by certificate or not. That's the cheapest guy. But the one who is refined, who has gone through schooling. God called me to be a pastor, but I didn't jump into pastoring just like that. I had to learn from pastors who were ahead of me. I lived in the house of a pastor, Bishop Wale. My father is a pastor. So many places to draw from. So when you're pastoring, this is how you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. So the talent is not enough. Develop it, harness it, and after you've done that, evaluation, marketing, sustainability, significance, and reward. Rest is about reward. At the age of 60, your business will start working for you because of the work and effort you have put in the drawing up of your plans and your visions and all things you've put together, your diligence, your business will start to work for you. There are people who sit down in the house and per hour, money hits their account. It's an economy of rest just by sitting down. So I don't know what God has given you. I'm taking time today because many of us complain there is no job. You are lying. You are lying. You haven't looked inwards. The moment you look inwards, you will see what you can do. And trust me, you're going to beat systems by leveraging on what he has given to you inside of you. And if you do this, heaven is your starting point. Lift your hands up where you are. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray and say, Lord, give me revelation that I can acknowledge the endowments you have put inside of me. I'm going to continue next week, but I want you to make this prayer and say, Lord, help me harness what you have given me that I may gain mastery. Jesus, God blessed Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful, have dominion, replenish, have dominion. Dominion is mastery. Says, have dominion. So I want you to pray in the name of Jesus that I would excel in the works of my hands. I would not be lackadaisical when it comes to my business, when it comes to my gift, when it comes to my craft. I will not be. And now I want you to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes and lead me in the way to go, in the way to profit, in the way to go. For you have called me to nations. Give me the going ability. Give me the going ability. Give me the fortitude to keep moving. I want to speak over some people who have paused on their journey of life. I speak over your life that you begin to move in forward direction. I don't know who you are, but life has halted you and kept you in one spot for a long time. But I speak in the name of Jesus that the Lord is giving you speed on your feet. You are going to overtake and you recover. Yes, more is coming to you because God is giving you the speed of the Holy Ghost. You know how to move. You are one who is driven by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you because you have blessed us with all things that pertains to life and godliness. We ask in the name of Jesus that your people will make profit and the world will see and glorify you who is in heaven. For in Jesus' name we pray. While you're seated where you are, I want you to shout and say, I am gifted. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you are gifted. You are gifted. You're gifted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Clap your hands. Give God some praise. Give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand.
Concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.